إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. الله سبحانه وتعالى إن سورة النور الله سبحانه وتعالى said رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله. الله سبحانه وتعالى said رجال men who merchandise and trade do not divert them from the ذكر of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. So, first of all, the word Rijal itself is used in the Quran in a very honorable way. The Arabic word for men or male is Dhukur, not Rijal. Rijal has a much more honorable meaning in the sense of it's not just being male is not the criterion, but men of worth, men of nobility, men of character, and so on. So, Allah used this word. In the Quran, the word Rijal has only been used in places where Allah has praised men and manhood, that is the qualities of manhood. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ar-Rijalu qawamuna ala nisa. Allah did not say, Az-Dhukuru qawamuna ala nisa. Allah did not say, males are superior or have been given control over the women. Allah said, men have been given, not males. So, just being male is not a criterion for anything. Allah uses the word Rijal. with the meaning that it is somebody who is worthy of respect. So Allah said, Rijal, la tulhihim tijaratum wala bayun an dhikrillah. They do not allow themselves to be destroyed. Diversion is correct, but the word tulhihim, same root word as halaka, which is to be destroyed. They do not allow themselves to be destroyed by diverting attention from the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by allowing their businesses and their trades and their activities and their work, by allowing that to divert attention from the zikr of Allah. Now, few things to understand. First of all, what was the meaning of using this word, which is destruction, which is halaka, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means diverting attention from His zikr. Because first of all, the purpose of our existence is zikr. So moving ourselves away from zikr in any way, no matter how small that duration might be, is a form of halaka. This is like, for example, if you're telling somebody, don't text while driving. If somebody says, how long does it take to text? How long does it take to die? It's as simple as that, you know, just a split second and you are finished. And we hear this so many times, people looking at their phones, texting and so on. I was once in Malaysia, somebody was driving me from Penang, not from Penang, from the north to Kuala Lumpur. And this guy was actually updating his Facebook status on while driving. I was absolutely horrified when I saw it. I almost yelled at him. I said, what are you trying to do? I mean, he's updating his Facebook status. Can you imagine? He's updating his Facebook status while he's driving. It's really crazy. On the highway, he's doing 120 kilometers, 130 kilometers an hour. And he's updating Facebook status. So people do all kinds of funny things. But the point is that how long does it take, you know, to crash? A split second, all of these things. One, you get sleepy, one little shut eye and then you have, that's it, you know, then your eyes never open after that. So it's easy to understand this in a material sense because we see this on a daily basis, but to understand this in a spiritual sense, that it is destruction of the spirit, it is destruction, just like being in a crash, right? Now imagine if, may Allah protect us from that, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take ourselves and take our lives in a state of zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. But imagine somebody who dies without the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's missed this thing. Of course, we have great faith in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't say that if you miss your zikr and or if you are, you know, momentarily diverted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and if you die in that state, you will go into Jahannam. I'm not saying that. Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us Jannah bi ghairi hisab and without accounting at all. But it's our own, for our own benefit and to do good for ourselves. So, لَا تُلْهِهِمْ. Allah said, they don't allow themselves to be destroyed, they don't allow themselves to be diverted. عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. لَا تُلْهِهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيُونَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Now, also to understand here, Allah is not talking about haram things. Tijarat and buy, trade and business and so on. This is halal. As long as it is done in halal ways, there is nothing prohibit. Allah is not prohibited that. You can do this, you can make as much money as you want and so on and so forth. So Allah has not prohibited. But even that which is permissible, remains permissible as long as you are giving precedence to the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over it. It remains permissible, like the ayat of Surah Tawbah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala counted 8 different things and he said, if you love these more than you love Allah and His Nabi and jihad fi sabilillah, then fatarabbasu hatta yati Allahu bi amri. Go and wait for the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now all those things which are enumerated are all things which are halal. Your love for parents, for children, for family, for wealth and so on and so on. All of this is halal. Not just halal, it is highly recommended that you should do it. But not at the cost of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the love of jihad fi sabilillah, not at the cost of the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the key criteria to understand is this, that nothing must take precedence over the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a beautiful hadith relating to the especially to Salatul Asr, and of course by inference this relates to all the first salawat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if a person misses his Salatul Asr, meaning that he doesn't pray the Salatul Asr, for a person to lose Salatul Asr, he said this is worse than, please notice, he is not saying this is equal to, he is saying it is worse than losing all his wealth and all his family. Now imagine, may Allah protect us from such calamities. You and I know that this is not a far-fetched thing. There are people in this world, as we speak, living in countries where they are actually facing this. They are actually facing the loss of their entire family and their entire wealth in one shot. You know this and we know this. This is happening as we speak. This is going on in Syria, in Iraq, in different parts of the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on those people and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy their oppressors. But this is happening. So it's not a far-fetched thing. It's not some, you know, fantastic example which really doesn't apply. This is actual reality today. May Allah protect us from that. Allah has kept us safe. Alhamdulillah, we ask for Allah's protection. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if a person loses all his wealth and he loses his entire family, imagine if something like that happens, you literally sort of lose the reason to literally live. Now, a person does all that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a person losing all that is less than losing one Salatul Asr. Not equal to that. Not equal to that. Losing one Salatul Asr is worse than this. Is worse than losing all your family and all your wealth in one shot. So, why is this Salatul Asr? Especially Salatul Asr. Because Salatul Asr is usually the middle of the working day. It's usually the time when, you know, business time and so on, and markets are open and things are happening and so on and so forth. And at that time, you have to take time out and go and pray. So even if you take the shortest possible duration, you know, you go to the masjid, or you, if the masjid is far away, maybe you pray in your office or wherever, but whatever it is, even if it's 10 minutes, 50 minutes, you have to drop what you are doing and you go and pray. We're not talking about delaying the salah and saying, no, no, there's still time, let me finish this deal and let me, no, no. We're talking about praying at the correct time, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this, the salawat are mentioned at, they are made for at specific times. So when the time of the salah comes, we try to pray as quickly as possible, as close to the time when the time begins. So therefore, one salah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another hadith, he said, I wish I could do this. I wish I could tell Bilal radiallahu anhu. He said, I wish I could tell Bilal to call the adhan, wait for people to come to the masjid, and then go, and wherever there is a Muslim who hasn't come to the masjid, if he is in the house, then I wish I could pile up firewood and burn him in his house. With his house. Now who is he talking about? He's not talking about a non-Muslim. He's not talking about somebody who's not praying. He's talking about somebody who does not go to the masjid to pray. He's praying in his house. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will burn him down in his own house. Who is saying this? Ar-Rahmatul Alameen. Who is saying this? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who never said any, you know, he didn't didn't get angry and so on and so on and so on. But there were things that he did, he got very angry about. Not just got angry, he got extremely angry about. What kind of example is this? You want to burn somebody alive in his house? For what? For praying. Not for leaving salah, for praying. But praying in his house when he could have gone to the masjid. Now this is a man comes to him. So Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a man comes to him and he says, Ya Rasulullah, I am very old, I am blind. Can I have permission to pray at home? Rasulullah said, if you knew the value of going and praying in the masjid, you would not ask this question. Huh? Imagine. In that condition also, go to the masjid. Why is there a masjid? So the key issue is, how much of importance do we give to the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu? Or do we put it aside? We are doing this, we are doing that, engage with this thing. That we need to ask ourselves this question, we need to ask our children this question, we need to ask our family this question. We must ask this question. Did you pray Asr today? Did you pray Zuhr today? Where did you pray? Did you pray in the masjid? Did you pray at home? This is a question which we should ask, and we should, to the best of our ability, make sure that people do this. It is your responsibility. Believe me, especially as parents, it is your responsibility. If your children don't go to pray, that is your responsibility. As long as they are living in your house, you are accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Simple as that. It's not enough to say they are grown up and so on. They can be grown up, but they are living, you are feeding them. They are eating your food, they are in your house. You are accountable for them. So very, very important for us to think about this and say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used some very strong terms. He's talked about ghaflat from his zikr as halaka, as a way of destruction. So we ask Allah to save us from that. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the importance and understand the importance of salah. Inshallah, we have when we have opportunity again, we'll talk more about this. But for today, let us think and focus on this and say that even things which are halal, which is tijarat and bay and so on, must not distract us from the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah praise those people who do not allow these things to divert them from the zikr of Allah. May Allah make us among those who have been praised, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him and that which is beneficial for us. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ